The readings are from John 15, 9 to 14.
I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I obey the Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy, my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command.
Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I'll come and get you, so that you will always be where I am, and you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except from me. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid.
Thank you. Thank you. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if Wendy's going to unpick that, we'll just pray for you. I'd like to bless Wendy, lift her up to the Sovereign Father. Put the words that you want spoken into her mouth. Let the listener receive the message. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
It's great to be here this morning. It's great to be here with all of you lot. And wow, what fantastic readers you are, and singers, and actioners. You know that last reading, I don't know if any of you noticed what it had to say, but it was about trusting in God. And I think it's very hard to trust in God, don't you? It's because we can't see him. And Jesus said to his disciples that he's taking them to a place and that they know the way. But it was a place they hadn't been to and they didn't know the way. It's very hard to hope for something that we've been promised, like joy and peace and friendship with God and a place with God in heaven for eternity, when we don't know when it will come. And sometimes we even wonder if it will come. That's why I like Jesus' disciples. Anybody here called Thomas? Thomas was a great disciple. One, he followed Jesus, but two, he asked the most... Some people call them stupid questions, but I don't think they were stupid. I think they were the questions everybody else wanted to ask, but they were too afraid to ask them, you know. He was the person who always asked the things that we really need to know. Now, I want to just tell you a little bit about what was happening here. Jesus had 12 disciples. I think you knew that. And they were all together, and Jesus was telling them some really important things. And the reason why he was telling them was because soon he knew he was going to Jerusalem and he knew that he was going to be crucified. He knew he was going to be leaving his disciples in person. And so he said, this is a promise. He said, don't worry. Don't worry about that I'm going to be leaving you, because you will always be with me where I am. And he tells them, you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas pipes up. He says to Jesus, we have no idea where you're going. How are we going to know the way? What do you think Jesus says? Do you think he says, okay, well, go a mile in that direction, then turn left, take Church Street, go up the hill, keep on going up, and eventually you'll reach heaven? Or maybe he says, go back home and type in Google Maps, heaven, make sure that it's your location in heaven, and then press directions. Don't worry, ignore the fact that it might say that it'll take you many, 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 many years to get there. Of course, he doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't often give specific directions. Sometimes, or hardly, his disciples were thinking, he doesn't tell us exactly where we're going or how to get there, or even who we're going to be traveling with. He simply says, and this is the really important bit, and you might have heard Tim saying this earlier on, Jesus says to his disciples, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can know the way to God the Father except for through me. Well, what do you think of that? Jesus is saying, if you're with me, I know the way. When we were in Germany, we were driving. We didn't know where we were going. We had it on our sat-nav, but we couldn't find the way. And we stopped and we asked somebody. And even though we asked in English and he was German, he said he couldn't explain to us, but he said, come with me, I'll show you the way. Isn't it much better to go with somebody who knows the way than to get directions which you might not be able to follow? And that's what Jesus does. He says, I am the way. And if you know me, I'll show you the way to God. It takes a lot of trust to follow Jesus, who we can't see, to lead us to a place that we've never been to and we don't know the way to. It's very hard to find the joy and the peace and the friendship with God that Jesus promises. But that's what today is really all about. You see, today's got a special name. Apart from being Parade Sunday, where you all come and you bring your flags and we put them up and we pray for you, apart from that special day, it's also called Advent Sunday. And Advent simply means coming. It's a time when we look back to when Jesus first came. The first Christmas. At the moment, we've got nothing in our crib because, well, it's not Christmas yet. We look back to that first Christmas, the time when Jesus came as a tiny baby, as a miracle baby, born in the most unexpected place, like a stable, where the animals live. We know that that happened because there were plenty of eyewitnesses, and they wrote all about it in our four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That was the first coming. But Advent is about another coming too. It's called the second coming. We don't know much about it. We've got a few clues in the Bible, like what Jesus was saying to Thomas and the other disciples today. But it's like a treasure hunt. We know that he'll be coming, but we don't know when. And that's a time when we'll have a new heaven and a new earth, a new era, if you like, on earth. But the miracle is, between the first coming and the second coming, even though Jesus isn't with us as a man in person, that's because he can only be in one place at a time, he's with us by the Holy Spirit. He's with us in everything we do. And so Advent is a bit of a time of waiting, isn't it? Of watching, of hoping. I want you to have a just pick up this little book that we're going to give you. It's a little gift, which is, it's about God with us. And that's the whole theme of Christmas. It's about your own Christmas journey as well. Now, if you haven't got one, don't worry. We have got a few extra. And you'll notice that the first page is a foreword by Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury. And if you turn to page 6, you've got Advent Week 1. That's this, okay? And the first thing we're going to be doing in Advent Week 1 is listening. Now, this little booklet has not only a theme for every week of Advent and then for every day of the 12 days of Christmas, but it also has a reading and it has some thoughts about it. And so this little booklet is like a guide to your journey, your own Christmas journey. Now, if you take this little book, And each week, you think about listening. You think about watching. You think about waiting. And you think about welcoming. That's what Advent is all about. Listening, waiting, watching, hoping. Looking out for the signs. And as you find a quiet moment in your house or in your week, a couple of times a week, it doesn't matter if you read the same verses again and again, because God speaks to you in a different way every time you read them. Just read through the scripture and read through the little thought. This is a really good little booklet. So don't leave today without having one. Now, another thing about Advent, it's 4 weeks, and each of the 4 weeks we light a candle. Ian's already lit the first candle, and that first candle symbolizes what we've been talking about today. One thing is trusting God, and the other thing is hoping for something that we can't see yet. And today we're going to think about people called the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We think about them because they had faith, even though they couldn't see what it was that God was leading them to. Abraham trusted that God would lead him, even though he couldn't see God and he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know the way to the place that he was going. And he had to convince Sarah, his wife, and all their servants and all their camels and all their sheep that the right thing to do was to trust God, because God wants to be our friend. So now we're going to have a little puppet show. It's about Abraham and Sarah watching and waiting for... Well, I don't want to give the story away, so let's... And this is what we do in school, and some of you are at St. Andrews. Let's open the book and listen to God's friend.
Abraham was rich, very rich. He had lots of servants to do his work for him. He had lots of camels and sheep, and he lived in a lovely house in a lovely place called Haran, and his lovely wife of many years, Sarah. Could life be any better? Abraham thought to himself. One day, God spoke to Abraham.
I want you to leave Haran. I have a better place for you to live.
Now, Abraham might have said, where, or how far, or even, no thanks, I'm quite happy here. But he didn't.
Sarah, quick, big news. God has spoken to me, and he wants us to move. He told me he has a better place for us to live.
Move to somewhere else? But I don't want to move. I like it here. Anyway, where are we going? How far is it? And don't you think it's a bit silly moving house at our age?
It's always best to trust God. He's our best friend, and he knows what's best for us.
But what if...
No more ifs and buts. Mm. Come on, God has a plan for us, and he knows best.
At last, they set off. They journeyed for many weeks with their servants, the animals, the tents, and lots of other things. God led Abraham and Sarah to a new place called Canaan.
They were in a big hurry and something fell down.
God led Abraham and Sarah to a new place called Canaan. Some called it a land flowing with milk and honey, which means there were many cows, goats, and bees, and plenty of flowers and grass for the animals to eat. It was altogether a pretty place, even nicer than Haran, and Abraham liked it very much.
Oh, Sarah, just look! This land is amazing! We shall be so happy here. I told you we could trust God.
I know, dear. It is quite beautiful, but... Oh, Abraham, I just wish we could have had a family, some children to share all of this with. It would have been so nice, but we're far too old now.
Sarah had a point. Both Abraham and Sarah were really old, grandpa and grandma old, and maybe even older than that. But Abraham trusted God.
I know. I'll speak to God about this. He's my friend. He will know what to do.
And one evening, God answered Abraham.
Abraham, look up. Do you see the stars? One day you will have so many children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that counting stars will be an easy job compared to counting them. Now, Abraham, look down. Do you see the ground? One day there will be more members of your family than there are bits of earth on the ground.
What did Abraham do? He chuckled, that's what. He giggled, he chortled, and he laughed.
Me? My wife and me have children? We're much too old for that.
But God wasn't joking.
You will indeed have a son, and through your family, I will do something wonderful for the world.
So Abraham trusted God. Before long, God sent three messengers to visit. Abraham was kind to them. He washed their tired feet, served them fresh baked bread with a delicious beef stew. As they sat patting their tummies and wiping their mouths, they said,
"We will be back next year and we will return. Sarah will have a baby brought up."
Someone giggled, someone chortled, someone laughed. This time it wasn't Abraham, it was Sarah, who had been listening in a tent nearby. And the following year, when God's promise came true and the baby was born, there was laughter again. So much laughter. In fact, they named their son Isaac, which means laughter.
So, God's promise to his friend Abraham came true, didn't it? He did have a special place for him to live, and he did have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and Abraham was glad that he trusted God. Now, we're going to have a moment of quiet for reflection. So would you like to shut your eyes? And would you like to think of a friend who you can trust? Thank God for them. Now, think of the words that Jesus said to his friends. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Now I'm going to say a prayer, and if you want to make it your own, say Amen at the end. Dear God, thank you for friends we can laugh with and can trust. Thank you that Abraham trusted you and he was called a friend of God. Help us to trust you and your son Jesus and to become a friend of God too. Amen.
God of Abraham and Sarah and all the patriarchs of old, you are our Father too. Your love is revealed to us in Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of David. Help us in preparing to celebrate his birth, to make our hearts ready for your Holy Spirit, to make his home among us. We ask this through Jesus Christ, the light who is coming into the world. Amen.